Back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, this Football Wednesday edition. And we continue our series of positional reviews from the 2012 season. Today we're going to take a look at the defensive line, and Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, still with us to talk about that position. And Jim, it was really the highlight of the defensive performance of the Browns, that group, the way it played, especially the story of the youth, the infusion of youth with John Hughes and Billy Winn, and how that changed the whole dynamic, because all of a sudden this became a team that could attack opponents with defensive line waves.
Oh, absolutely. And they became deep, and I think a lot of people wondered how good were they going to be and how deep could they be. They only kind of, you know, really waded in the pool in free agency, but they came out with two very useful players, Jaquay Parker, Frosty Rucker, and they specifically, you know, wanted them on the ends, and that's what they got from them. But the key was going to be, were they going to be able to hit on John Hughes and Billy Winn? And they really did. And then you add that to Phil Taylor, and you needed these kids to come in and play right away because Taylor was out and really, you know, missed half of the season with that pectoral injury. So you needed those guys to come in and play in a hurry, and they did, and they teamed up with Ruben, and they played very, very well. But then when they finally all got together and Sheard became a better player,
right,
and Taylor was doing his thing and Ruben was doing his thing, I mean, it was a beautiful – it really was, and I'm not kidding. It was a beautiful thing to watch how fresh they were always, and how, you know, they weren't dying in the fourth quarter because they were playing so many snaps because the rotation was in and out.
It worked, and, you know, I think it became an even better coup for this team to draft Hughes and Winn when we found out what happened with Phil Taylor, that pectoral injury that he suffers in the offseason. And you weren't, you know, banking on him, of course, to be out for half the year, but that's what happened. And I think the great part of Phil Taylor is when he comes back fresh, and you could see the difference that he made immediately once he got in the lineup. The sad part was what this team missed in a player that I think made tremendous development between years one and two in terms of his serious-mindedness about the game, getting his head into the study of videotape, into studying other defensive tackles. He told me that he really looked at Warren Sapp tape and saw how Warren Sapp did things, really studied Vince Wilfork and picked up a lot of things from there. And, of course, he's got Ataba Rubin next to him and learned a lot from that. He really put his head into it. You could see a more assertive guy because as a rookie in 2011, he was a quieter player, didn't really say a whole lot. Now you felt that, you know, he was a real presence and a part of this line. And, you know, I think when you combine that with the youth that's there, this is about as bright a looking spot as the Browns have.
Yeah, and the other thing, Vic, because you play in this division and you play these guys twice a year, suddenly they could go in there and they could trade punches with the Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens defensively.
Yeah.
Suddenly you weren't getting pushed around. You weren't going to have a huge offensive day because your defense was going to lag around. I mean, I really think that defensively they played really well against Cincinnati, even down in Cincinnati that day. Remember, a punt return kind of turned that game around against them. They played very, very well against Pittsburgh in both games and got the one here in Cleveland in their signature win of the year, forcing eight turnovers. And they were right there with the Ravens in both of those games, that Thursday night game over there and the game here in Cleveland. And that, to me, is the most encouraging thing, that because you're going to have to win inside that division playing those teams twice each year, you're going to have to really do it against them. I think that suddenly they took a big leap, I think, this year.
Oh, there's no question. And if you look at the rest of this group, again, I mentioned Ataba Rubin, who also had a little problem with injury, but still the steady force that he was in the middle. And then you saw, and you pointed this out earlier, you saw how much better people on the outside were able to perform because of the work being done inside, that they never really suffered a major drop-off with anyone on the inside. So Jabal Sheard in year two didn't have the prolific sack numbers, Jimmy, but I thought was a much more complete player than he was in 2011 as a rookie.
Yeah, because you got to play the run.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to play the run. He was
especially in this division.
Yeah, and in this division you got to do it. And he was really all pass rush in his rookie year, and he was really trying to learn it. Remember, they just put him on the one side because he had to play on that side. And, you know, as you pointed out to me when we were talking about this, you know, Sheard also had to overcome an injury coming out of Pitt and coming into the NFL. But the other thing was that, remember, he was sitting at like one sack for a long chunk of the season.
Yes.
And boy, once that defensive line got straightened out, then suddenly his numbers just burst, and he had a real strong finish to the year. Boy, if he could play over in Heinz Field a couple of times a year, he really gets revved up to play over there.
He does.
He really gets revved up to play against the Steelers.
As a Pitt guy, and you're right, he came out of Pitt, had to have elbow surgery, so he really couldn't do any lifting in his rookie offseason, and then you have a lockout, so that further damages the ability to do much to enhance your game. And once he got into this offseason and prepping for the 2012 campaign, now he's lifting. Now he got his bench work up to like 400 pounds, he was telling me, and focused on being a better run player. And I think that started to come around for him. And then on the opposite side, it helped having Frosty Rucker. It helped having Jaquay Parker, because I don't know that the Browns got any spectacular acquisition in either one of those players, but they were both solid, and I think they were good influences on younger players. They bring a certain work ethic with them, especially Jaquay Parker, 12 years in this league, and he brings it. I remember hearing from Eric Winston, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive tackle, telling me after that game, after the Browns-Chiefs game, how amazed he was that Parker kept bringing it on every play, you know, in his 12th season. So I think that was a good thing. And but I also think, too, that as you look at the position, if you had that other dominant edge rusher, a dominant edge rusher, maybe that's a guy that comes out of this draft, how much better this group will be overall.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, and remember now, they had 38 sacks, and the sign of a really good team, especially a 4-3 team, is when you can get it from your defensive line. You know, when you're not counting on safeties blitzing all the time to come up with sacks, when you're not, you know, selling the house out to get the pressure, but you can contain it with that front four and get it from those guys. Those really good teams in the playoffs, the Giants when they've won Super Bowls, Carolina that one year when they got to the Super Bowl.
Definitely.
They really had, and even Green Bay when they got there, you know, they get it from the front. They're not, because you want to be able to play the field.
Yeah.
But when you give up and sell through, you know, you're exposing yourself in some areas. You're taking a guy and you're going to hope that he gets there. But the Browns didn't have to do that this year, and I thought it helped them.
Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we review the play of the Browns defensive line. And I think the other thing to look at is the versatility that this team has in a guy like Billy Winn. I mean, what a special player. You bring a guy like that, a lower round pick, who you have modest expectations for, and all of a sudden, he's an impact guy. He's showing supreme athleticism. I mean, he can move around well. He's strong. Ultimately, Jim, I look at him and probably see him more as an end than an inside guy. But I guess, you know, you've got to keep your mind open with him, that he could do both. And you see a guy like J.J. Watt from Houston and the impact that he has as both an inside and an outside player on the D-line. I mean, that's the guy that I think Billy Winn, I don't know if he'll be that good or that dominant, but I think he can be that kind of player, don't you think?
Well, when you look at him, and I'm talking about just physically, he looks like that kind of a player.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more streamlined. I mean, when you look at John Hughes, you look at a big-chested, barrel-chested, big guy on the inside that's going to really, you know, get in those wars in there.
Yeah, you know where he belongs.
Absolutely. You know, he goes right out to
space
that position.
Eater.
Billy Winn is that kind of guy, and I think that he's very intriguing. He's the kind of guy now, Vic, that in this new age of television and everybody being televised, and Boise State, you know, all of us watching Boise State on those late Friday night games.
We probably
on the blue field, we got to look at him more so than we probably normally would have. And, you know, so he wasn't completely foreign to us, but you're right. To get him where they got him in the draft and then to get out of him what they got out of him this year, it looks like a very bright future.
Yeah, I think so for him for sure, and also for John Hughes. And I think the other thing that happens, and we'll see how the coaching situation plays out, because this is the other place I want to go with this discussion, is that the future of this D-line, I mean, if you just go with the talent itself, you can say, hey, there's talent here, there's a lot to work with. Wonder if that influences how the next head coach of the Browns views the scheme that he wants to bring in, because you go with a 4-3 because you believe you've got much more depth at that line position than you do at linebacker. You're stronger there. It stands to reason. And if you're the opposite, if it's a 3-4 and you're linebacker heavy, then okay, then you're a linebacker-driven defense. This is a line-driven defense by far. And yes, that can change after a draft. That could change in free agency somewhat. But I think at the core, that's what this team is. And it's about attacking in waves. It's about having guys that are well-rested late in the game. So as I look at it, I would almost think that it would be an attractive thing when a coach, a potential hire for a head coach of this team, studies the Browns roster. That's one of the things that's got to jump out at him.
I think so, and it was always made me a little uncomfortable late in the year when Dick Geron would meet with the media on Thursdays for the upcoming game, and when people started to cite that there was probably going to be change coming here, and you know, would ask even Dick Geron and say, could you ever see this team shifting to a 3-4? And he said, well, maybe you could do this and you could do that, but they are what they are right now.
Yeah.
That coulda, woulda, shoulda, you know, is difficult when you have it in front of you.
Yeah.
And why not let that grow now? I mean, you're right. I mean, they are a 4-3 team. They're built to be a 4-3 team right now. And if you tweak them at linebacker, well, suddenly now, you know, up front, you're going to be very, very good.
And I think when you're looking at Phil Taylor and you look at John Hughes and Billy Winn, I mean, those three guys, you're talking about a second-year guy and Taylor who will be a third-year guy in 2013, and the other two who will be going into their second NFL season. They're players that are going to be, I think, outstanding or strong players for years to come. So, you know, it's hard for me to want to give up on that stock. That's a stock that's going to rise.
You know, and another name, Vic, that they kind of, pulled out of the hat just before the start of the regular season was when they picked up that kid, Ishmaili Kitchen.
Yes.
Who played really well for them. I mean, really played very, very well for them. And when we really saw him play well was when Taylor was out.
Right.
Because they needed a little help there. He comes in the first week and he's playing. Yeah. And he's playing very well.
Yeah, and you ask other players on that line, and they always bring him up. Phil Taylor, especially. Well, he calls him the Big Kitchen. He says, "Yeah, when the Big Kitchen's in there, he says we're a better front."
Yeah.
And
Phil would know a Big Kitchen.
He would. He's visited many a Big Kitchen.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff, Jim. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again soon.
Looking forward to it, Vic.
He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.